Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as always, it is great to have this opportunity to answer your questions. We will go right to the phone callers, talk to Jimmy. He's in Florence, Mississippi. Hi.
Hey, Hank. My question is about Christian engagement in government and politics. I'm sure you've answered the question before, and I've heard answers to the question before, but specifically in light of mainly as evangelicals, we hold to the literal interpretation of the Bible. And we hold that there is objective truth, and so since we have a historical record of the Constitution and all the history that surrounded the Constitution, all the good, the bad, and the ugly, and we look at this political and governmental landscape that we face today, to what degree should the Christian be engaged in politics, be engaged in pursuing the changing of government or the forming of new governments, even within this own, on this continent, and that type of, in that realm of government pursuance? I'm just curious, about your thoughts on that.
Well, my thoughts are these, that every single sphere of life is something that we should engage as Christians. We should not abdicate our responsibility in the arts. We shouldn't abdicate our responsibility in education. We shouldn't abdicate our responsibility in politics. The reason is we have an opportunity to engage politics. We have an opportunity to affect legislation. And legislation has a big impact on morality. If you can't legislate morality, pray tell, what can you legislate? Of course you can't. So it's not a matter of whether morality is being legislated, it's a matter of whose morality is being legislated. And oftentimes, the fact that we have been not involved to the extent that we should be involved has pushed other agendas and moralities to the forefront, and now they've become the law of the land. So yeah, I think we should be involved in every sphere that God gives us an expertise in, and we should be the best at it. I think too often we are transformed by the culture as opposed to being transforming agents in the culture. So we imitate culture rather than transform it.
Well, and let me ask this then, in light of what Paul says about submitting to the authorities, and you look back at our own, War for Independence and the American Revolution, the Declaration, all that, technically there were a lot of people at that time who said, hey, the king is instituted by God. We shouldn't, we should be submitting to the king, not trying to separate. And I've really had a struggle inside of myself lately. How long do you submit to this government? There's all kinds of questions that stem from that. But just curious about your thoughts on that. How you reconcile Paul, hey, submit to the authorities, yet even our own foundations were clearly, hey, we're not going to submit to this tyranny anymore, regardless.
Sure.
And in Paul's context, he didn't have, that kind of freedom. He didn't know the kind of government that we know, So.
Well, he did know a far worse government. Remember that the Bible was written largely, speaking of the New Testament, in the epicenter of a Caesar cult, where people were commanded to say, a Caesar is not only Savior, but Caesar is Lord. And in the midst of that epicenter of a Caesar cult, it was the apostles who would say, no, it's not Caesar who is Lord, it is Christ who is Lord. So they recognized a higher power, a higher authority. And they recognize their need to live by that higher authority. So remember, when the Bible says that we are to submit to governing powers, there is appended to that a condition. And that is that what the higher powers are demanding does not conflict with what Christ demands. So there's always a condition on our loyalty to any system of government. And that's why if there is a revolution, that revolution has to still be contextualized within the context of a biblical framework. And the only way that you can do that adequately is to know the Bible. So I think that there have been revolutions that have started in direct opposition to the Word of God, and yet they have worked out for the furtherance of the gospel. God has taken even the inadequacies and used them for a powerful purpose. Now, I'm not applying that remark to any specific revolution, but I'm simply making a general statement here. So I think what's important, not only individually, but collectively, as living stones in the temple of God, we have to take seriously our responsibility to understand the parameters laid down by the Word of God and then bring them to effect in the culture in which we live.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot, Hank. I appreciate your time, man.
You got it. Appreciate your call. I want to go back to the phone lines. Dominic is listening in North Dakota. And hi, Dominic.
Hello, Hank. Good talk with you again. North Dakota loves your show. Say, the reason why I'm calling, Hank, is because of these prosperity preachers that are on TV, and so many people are giving the money to them. And it just makes me sad because I think they're in it just for the money for themselves.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to judge anybody's motives, although you can certainly get a sense about certain things. But I tell you what, it is an abomination on so many different levels. You think about someone as famous as Benny Hinn callously telling people that if your body belongs to God, it does not and cannot belong to sickness. That statement fails to recognize that some of God's choicest saints endure not only sickness, but die young. And on the other side of the coin, some of the most ruthless sinners enjoy soundness of body, and they live long, robust lives. Or Kenneth Copeland, who says that God intends for every believer to live completely free from sickness and disease, and it's up to us to decide whether or not we will. Or Rod Parsley, who says, settle the matter once for all. God does not want you to be sick. Thus, when the believer continues to suffer with physical ailments, well, according to these prosperity preachers, they have only themselves to blame. But if you test this again in light of Scripture, what do you find? Well, you find that the biblical writers make plain that sickness and suffering are the lot of all who walk this planet. Since the fall of humankind, both the righteous and the unrighteous have been subject to disease and decay, and it will be like that until Jesus returns to put all things to right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes me sad. I mean, people like Mike Murdoch and Todd Koontz, there's so many of them out there, and it's like, you know, I think a lot of people are just being deceived. They don't know what to believe anymore. And then they'll donate money. People are trying to pay for a miracle.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, I've written about the cons and cover-ups in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. Look, this is what I call a modern crisis in Christianity, and it's deepening as more and more prosperity preachers are gaining huge platforms. Prosperity preachers ranging from Joyce Meyer to T.D. Jakes, they're convincing devotees that what happens in your life is a result of the words that you speak. So if you're healthy and you're prosperous, well, words created that reality. On the other hand, if your baby dies or your spouse contracts cancer, well, once again, you are the prime suspect. And in fact, according to Joel Osteen, one of the most popular of all the prosperity preachers, the moment you speak something out, you give birth to it. And that's a spiritual principle from his perspective, which works whether what you're saying is good or bad, positive or negative. Now, by the way, I have pointed this out elsewhere, but Joel Osteen's words are eerily similar to those of New Thought practitioners. I remember Joe Vitale, who was a contributor to Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. He was asked by Larry King a few years ago when King was still doing his broadcast whether a 9-year-old Florida girl who was brutally raped and murdered attracted the horror to herself. And he responded, "We are attracting everything to ourselves." And then he said this, "There are no exceptions. So while faith preachers such as Osteen have some differences with New Agers such as Vital and Byrne, they are united in the belief that the force of faith is so powerful that even the master of the universe is bound by its irrevocable reality. And again, that's why I wrote Christianity Crisis 21st Century, to give people a biblical concept of what's really true in this regard. And this is a very significant issue. Again, that's why I wrote about it. And the book Christianity in Crisis is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift to our ongoing work. A quick reminder as we go to break, you can find resources that I'm talking about on the web. Again, the address, equip.org.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next is Lila listening in Muldrow, Oklahoma on the web. Hi, Lila.
Hi there, Hank. I wanted to just add a little something to the Word of Faith movement stuff. I was rescued, I think I've told you before, I was rescued by CRI from that movement, and I have family who are still damaged by it, some of them who no longer believe in the atonement of Christ on the cross. Mm. So I'm praying for them, and I've sent your Christianity in Crisis book to my mom, and she read it in 2 days and started sharing it with my brother.
Oh, wow.
So I'm really excited.
Well, God bless you for that encouragement and for reaching out to your family.
Oh, yeah, you guys are making it possible. Well, God's making it possible through you. Now, my real question is concerning the Dead Sea Scrolls. I have a friend who is kind of searching for truth, and she's a little bummed out that the only writers of the Gospels are all men, and what's wrong with Mary Magdalene's Gospel? And when I looked up, and she's pretty sure that all the Gnostic Gospels were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and I know that they weren't. But she's trying to figure out how we date the Gnostic Gospels, and I know that when I researched it on the web, of course there are all kinds of crazy theories, but there are some things about, that something in the Dead Sea Scrolls indicated that Mary Magdalene and Jesus were really tight, and that some of the Gospel of Thomas was found in those. So I just need you to say authoritatively, one way or another, do the Gnostic Gospels have anything at all to do with anything in the Dead Sea Scrolls?
Well, no. And furthermore, I think what's important to recognize is that the reason that they're not included in the Word of God is simply because they do not correspond to reality, which is to say that they're late and that they're clearly not in the same genre of the Gospels that we have, the Synoptic Gospels in John. If you read, for example, the Gospel of Judas, which has been touted, and you have people like Bart Ehrman, who's the chair of the Religious Studies Department at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, saying that, you know, if we had latched onto the Gospel of Judas rather than the Gospel of John, we might well have avoided anti-Semitism. Well, it's absurd. If you read the Gospel of Judas, quite frankly, it'll put you into deep laughter. And you'll realize immediately that the 13 papyrus pages are not only late, but they're quite ridiculous. The same thing is true if you read the Gospel of Thomas, which you mentioned. It is sexist in the extreme. How different from what you find in the scriptures, where you find Mary's song being lauded, or Hannah's song, or Deborah's song. How different from the Bible that makes women the heroes of the story when it comes to the central event in Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the reason that these Gospels are omitted from the Word of God has nothing to do with prejudice. It has to do with the fact that they simply do not correspond to reality. They're late, they're unreliable, and they're Gnostic in that they're deeply influenced by Gnostic trends that were in vogue during that epoch of time.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds really a lot like the kinds of things I found. And I'm assuming that the Dead Sea Scrolls don't have anything at all in them about Jesus and Mary Magdalene having a relationship. Is that just made up?
Yeah, that comes from, it's been hypothesized, at least from the Gospel of Philip, where in one passage Jesus supposedly kisses Mary as his companion. And the same is true with another gospel, the Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Again, too late for credibility, but this is another gospel that people like Dan Brown, who wrote the Da Vinci Code, references in support of his Mary Jesus hypothesis.
Okay. So I'm assuming that, from what I understand, the Dead Sea Scrolls were, a lot of them were written in, I don't know, 100, 200 BC, or if you put the BC first, whatever. And then the Gnostic Gospels didn't come into being until like 200 years after Christ. Like,
yeah, or a lot longer.
Okay, so there's like this, there's a humongous gap in between. Even, it sounds like, would you say that there's any kind of gap between when the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden in the caves and then when the Gnostic Gospels came out, so it's just impossible for anybody to have snuck Gnostic Gospels?
Well, the Dead Sea Scrolls were hidden by the Essenes, and they were hidden because of what ultimately would happen in terms of the destruction of Jerusalem. So, unfortunately, the people themselves were brutally slaughtered, but the scrolls were hidden in caves, the Qumran caves above the Dead Sea, and came to light, I think, for the first time in 1947 as a result of a Bedouin shepherd throwing a rock into a cave and hearing the sound of splintered pottery. So, yeah, I mean, this has no correspondence whatsoever to the Gnostic Gospels. What it does do, however, the Dead Sea Scrolls have given us a lot of light with respect to what's going on in various passages in the Old Testament. Not only that, but because they predate the earliest extant text, the Masoretic text, by about 1,000 years, what you have here is 1,000 years by which you can determine whether God has indeed preserved his word over time. And when you compare the Masoretic text with the Qumran scrolls or the Dead Sea Scrolls, you find out that that is precisely the case, that he has indeed preserved his word over time, that you find some differences in style and spelling, but no differences in substance. But that's a completely different subject, as it were. It has to do with manuscript evidence for sure, but this is manuscript evidence which relates to the Old Testament, as opposed to what you're talking about with respect to Gnostic Gospels, which oftentimes people today, people with agendas, say are more correct or more worthwhile than the Gospels that you find in the Bible. And again, it's hard to imagine anybody really saying that have actually read these Gospels. For example, I remember reading the Gospel of Thomas. There's a conversation there between Peter and Mary in the Gospel of Thomas, where Simon Peter says to them, "Make Mary leave us, for females don't deserve life." And Jesus says, "Well, look, I'll guide her, and I'll make her a male so that she can become a living spirit resembling you males, for every female who makes herself male will enter the domain of heaven." You don't find that kind of sexist language in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, well, you definitely helped to solidify the kinds of things that I was already finding and digging up, just researching, and of course, I went to equip.org first because I trust you the most, and this will definitely help to just settle it once and for all if she really wants to openly talk about it for real.
And I've written about this in a few places, including my book, Has God Spoken? But remember the Dead Sea Scrolls, which I said were discovered in the late 40s up through, I think, 56, are a very different collection than the Nag Hammadi Library discovered in 1945 in Egypt, which contains many of the Gnostic Gospels. A lot of people don't make that careful distinction. But again, I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken?
Okay, and I have that book, and I looked at it too. And it really helped to talk to you in person as well. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
God bless you, Lila. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Chris, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Hank. I was actually here listening to you the other day, and you said a large gap of like the comprehension of the Word and your prayer life is meditation on the Word, and I'd like to know, what exactly is meditation? Because I'd love to get into that, you know?
Yeah, meditation so often seems to be the province of New Agers and New Thought metaphysical practitioners and Zen Buddhists and so forth, but you know, it's a completely different kind of meditation that they're talking about. They're talking about meditation that empties the mind of all objective reality. As Christians, we're talking about a different kind of meditation. The meditation we speak of is object-oriented, which is to say we meditate upon the Word of God. So very different from Zen Buddhism, where you're emptying the mind. Here you're focusing your mind with laser sharpness on the Word of God, and the Word of God then starts to transform your life. And I oftentimes say that meditation is the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life, for the very reason that when you meditate upon the Word of God, you can have an effective dialogue with God. So you meditate upon the Word of God, and then you can speak to God as He speaks to you through the mystery and majesty of His Word.
All righty. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. And, of course, the stated objective of Zen Buddhism is enlightenment, the inner perception that all of reality is one and duality is an enlightened illusion. Enlightenment is said to be the key to extinguishing individual identity and the doorway to nirvana. So you meditate, but you're emptying your mind. Christians are called, as I said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Again, meditation, the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. Out of time. We'll see you tomorrow with more answers.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.